This young man went to apply for a job, and as part of the application process, he had to take an aptitude test. Pretty straightforward, nothing unusual. A lot of companies require that. So they gave him the tools that he needed and put him into a room and left him alone to take the test. And while he was in the room, he looked at the table and he realized that he needed to shove it just a little bit. So he moved it, and then that didn't seem quite right because he looked up at the clock and the clock was a little crooked, so he did that. And the pencils needed sharpening, so he sharpened every pencil, and there were a lot of pencils, and got the notebook and the paper, and everything was just absolutely perfect, but he never got around to taking the test. The room itself was great. Ultimately, he was so infatuated with all of that that he forgot what it was he was there to do. Needless to say, at the end of the time, he had well sharpened pencils, but he didn't take the test, and he didn't get the job. Now, there are people these days in business talk about working smart, right? Work smarter, not harder. I have found in my own personal experience, because I have a just past teenager in my house, that working smarter instead of harder really translates into don't work at all. Yeah, like you guys aren't guilty of it too, right? But work smarter instead of harder has become something of a catchphrase. How effectively, how efficiently we work. It's working smart, not just hard. And so those who burn the midnight oil often are those who have not learned how to use their time wisely. They are not working smarter. In fact, a recent brain study by psychologists at the University of California confirmed that smart thinkers are not necessarily working hard even at their thinking. That the psychologist injected subjects with mildly radioactive glucose, because that's what psychologists do, and had them take a test involving abstract reasoning and then watch the level of glucose that each brain burned. And surprisingly, the people who received low scores were burning more glucose to get a few wrong answers than other people who were burning to get most of the answers right. There really does seem to be something to the idea of working smarter, not harder. As Robert Hutchins has said, it is not so important to be serious as it is to be serious about important things. The teachings of Jesus stress this over and over again, the importance of living smart. He himself compared them to a man building a house on a rock. He talked about counting the cost before beginning to build. Sit at the lowest place at the table, he said. And when your host comes your way, he may say to you, friend, move up to the higher place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all. Time and time again, he stressed that his teachings were not about pie in the sky, by and by, but about practical living, right here, right now. It's enough to just live, but also important to live smart. Anybody know the name John Madden? Yeah, okay, all right. Well, everybody knows him, but I only knew him from a video game. Because I'm not, well, everybody else, all my friends were out playing football, I was playing the cello. So I missed out on a lot of stuff. I don't know the difference between a tight end and getting, I don't know what any of those things really mean. And so whenever I go to a football game, I am very annoying because I'm also very curious and I want to know, what does that mean? You know, whoever I'm watching, if last night Deborah and I watched the Jaguars beat up on Tennessee, and did any of you watch that game? Yeah, so since I had played Madden, I knew lots of catchphrases, you know, like, if you're going to score a goal, you got to move the ball. And so I said that about 30 times until Deborah got so tired of it, you know, because it sounded smart, you know, I think I know what it means, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, John Madden was a sportscaster for CBS for a long time, but he had been, of course, a coach way before that for the Oakland Raiders. And during a championship season, Oakland had an all-pro receiver by the name of a guy named Fred Biletnikoff. Y'all know that? I had no idea. I had to write this down. I was like, Biletnikoff, he sounds like a Russian astronaut, you know? Biletnikoff. But anyway, apparently, Madden said this about him. He said if he had played up to his capabilities, he would never would have made it in the NFL. He was slow, he wasn't very big, and he was even a little bit clumsy. I used to scream at him from the sidelines, "Don't fall down, Fred, don't fall down." And all he could ever do, though, was catch passes and score touchdowns. Fred was effective. He knew how the game was played. He understood teamwork. He had figured out moves that would take him where the defense wouldn't go. And he was a star player at his position because he played smart. He might not have been able to do everything an NFL receiver needs to do, but he did those things that mattered. And that's also the key to living smart. Make sure you do the things that really matter. You remember Dwight Eisenhower? I'm bringing up all these old people, but Dwight Eisenhower became president. He tried to arrange his administration so that only urgent and important matters were called to his attention. Everything else was to be delegated to assistants. But he discovered that urgency and importance seldom appear together. Now, you and I may feel that we're tossed and we're turned every direction by those things that are urgent in our lives. We call it the tyranny of the urgent, while many important things are left undone. It's time we catch our breath and begin to live smart. Living smart begins with deciding what is really important to you. That makes sense, doesn't it? What is really important? There's a story about a man who was preparing for his favorite breakfast of hot oatmeal when his daughter came rushing in with his little grandson. And the little grandson said, "Yeah, I've got to go to work. Can you take care of him?" And grand said, "It'll be great. No problem. Whenever the babysitter shows up, we'll take a pass off. But he's here with me. This is great." So granddad sat the little boy down and said, "Let me ask you something. Do you like sugar?" The little boy said, "Yes, I do." How about some butter?" "Yeah, like that too." "How about some milk?" "Love it. Thanks, Grandpa." And when the grandfather placed the steaming bowl of oatmeal in front of the little boy pushed it away with disgust. And the grandfather said, "But I asked you if you like sugar and butter and milk." And the little grandbaby said, "Yeah, but you didn't ask me if I like oatmeal." Yeah, see, granddad forgot to ask the most fundamental question, the elemental question. And sometimes we forget to do that too. We forget to set our priorities. We never list in our own minds what those things are that matter most to us. We allow life to buffer us one way or the other, and we never center on the things that really matter to us the most. And the saddest part is that as you get older and older, it's harder and harder to do that, isn't it? Because you become stuck in your ways and you're comfortable in. Even if it's no fun, you're still comfortable in it. There's an old story about a recipe for rabbit pie. It reminded me of my grandmother's recipe for chicken soup. And, you know, my grandmother came from Hungary, and she was Austro-Hungarian, and exactly where she came from is debatable. We're not really sure. But she taught me how to make a chicken soup, Jewish chicken soup, because Jewish mothers came up with a recipe that was so good that whenever I make it, they line up in my front yard. And I will have Jewish mothers all the way down the street for my chicken soup. But you know what my grandmother's first ingredient is when she makes made chicken soup and taught me? She never wrote it down, by the way. It's all up in here. Boil a chicken. As simple as that. Just boil a chicken. And you know, and I asked some of my friends, you know, because they like to cook too, "Do you ever make chicken?" And they're like, "Yes." And then we go to Publix and we buy this can and we open this. I'm like, "That's not chicken. You got to start with it." Anyway, we are people who get so distracted by things in our lives, distracted by things that aren't important to us. Let me give you one more football story. You know, who's the greatest football coach of all time? Lombardi, right? Yeah, even I knew that. You know, it's like Beethoven. You know, except without a football. Anyway. He took over the Green Bay Packers, and when he did, they were absolutely at the bottom. It was 1958. They had lost 10 out of 12 games. And they tied one, they won one, and when they came to camp in June in 1959, Lombardi said to them, "Gentlemen, we are going to have a football team, and we're going to win football games. I want you to get that. But how are we going to get there? He said, we're going to learn to block and to run and to tackle. You're going to outplay all the teams that come up against you. And then he threw in the clincher. He said, you are to have confidence in me and enthusiasm for my system. Hereafter, I want you to think of only three things: your home, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. Now, we could quarrel with that order, but you can't quarrel with the idea and the spirit that Lombardi's challenge represented. He had narrowed his priorities to those simple things that he considered essential. We could learn from that. For we must decide what is really important in our lives. And there's a second secret to living smart. Living smart says, don't let little things distract you. Oh boy, that tyranny of the urgent comes back again, doesn't it? Things that are urgent that will, maybe not important, but they will rule your life. Somewhere I read about an English homeowner who declared war against a mole that had been burrowing unsightly holes in his yard. And so he knew that he needed to get rid of this mole. Well, moles only come out at night, right? You know, how many of you have moles in your yard here? Because I've got some that are the size of small cats in my yard. They're huge, yeah. Anyway, this Englishman decided he wanted to get rid of him. But nighttime, he couldn't see what was going on or where the mole was. So he parked his car, a Jaguar, on the yard, turned the lights on so that he could see the yard really, really well. Well, unfortunately, when he turned the lights on, he also turned the engine on so that it wouldn't kill his battery. It slipped into gear, slid down, ran into his home, exploded, burned his house to the ground. Yeah, and he couldn't even call the fire department because the lines, the hard lines at the time, burned right through, and so the place just went right on down. And he said, you know, I still want to see that mole dead. Yeah. But we can appreciate his frustration. But his is an example of truly making mountains out of molehills. He had lost... Yeah, I know. I anticipated that would be painful. But he had lost his perspective, though, didn't he? Somehow, his priorities were out of whack. One of the most impressive things about people is how they can keep what is important, important. Another story. I've got a lot of stories. I've been reading stuff, you know. John Glenn, an amazing astronaut and a terrific senator as well, knew how to stick to his priorities. Do you know he is the only person to ever turn away the president of the United States from his front door and not let him come in? And you know what he was doing? Glenn was taking care of his wife, who was very sick at the time and needed his attention. What he was saying to Johnson, by the way, was the president, what he was saying to the world, but particularly to the president, is you are not more important than my relationship with my wife. That's amazing, because how many of us would have done that? How many of us would have shifted our priorities? In our scripture today, Martha is busy. So she's busy with many things. She's trying to be a gracious hostess. Very important in that culture, what she was doing. It wasn't just something casual. It was very, very prescribed, and would be very embarrassing if she didn't present a clean house and good food to a guest. Who would fault her for that? I mean, it was hard work, though, and I'm certain that Jesus understood and he appreciated what she was doing. But at that particular moment, it wasn't the most fruitful way to be spending her time. The master of the universe is in her home. Now, true, she could bake his bread, but he could offer her the bread of life. She could set beverages on the table, but he could treat her to living water. She could make more sure that he felt at home, but he would offer her an eternal home. It wasn't that Martha wasn't working hard. It was that she wasn't working smart. She let little things distract her. She let little things get in the way of what was really important. So there's one more thing to be said. Living smart begins by committing to Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it first and his righteousness. And Jesus said it, everything else will be added to you. The smartest thing that Martha could have done at that moment was to emulate her sister Mary and sit for a few moments at the feet of Jesus. In a Scandinavian country, there's the statue of Jesus that tourists go by it every day and they look at it, but the Jesus is wearing a cowl over his face, over his head, and they complain about it. He said, I can't see his face. And the tour guide says, only if you get on your knees can you see the face of Jesus. There's some of us whose greatest need right now is to spend some time on our knees, kneeling or sitting at the feet of Jesus. Our lives may feel like they're out of kilter. As this new year begins, things are new. It's fresh. So we could start over again. It's like a huge, what is that? Which of the companies, is it Staples has the reset button? Yeah, I love that. I want one on the pulpit. You know, that joke did not go reset, you know. Yeah, and then, of course, you all have one in the pew. Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Thank you, preacher. Reset. Yeah. But the reality is this is an opportunity for us to recheck, to look at our priorities. There are some of us who are in great need of that right now. Some of us who need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Priorities hopelessly skewed, like the poor man who destroyed his house and his car to get rid of molehills, who had become those mountains. We need to stop where we are and to pray. Lord, help me to know what those things are that really need to matter in my life, and help me always to put you first. It's tough. There was once a man who was trying to read his evening newspaper, and he'd come home from a long day at the office, and he really just wanted to read the paper, but he was constantly being interrupted by his children. One child came in and said, can I have some money for ice cream? So he reached into his pocket and got some money and gave it to him. And another child arrived in tears. Her leg was hurt, and she wanted Daddy to kiss the hurt away, and so he did. An older son came in with an algebra problem, and they took out paper and eventually figured it out. And finally, as he's reading his newspaper and thinking, okay, the last of his children came in, the youngest of them all, burst into the room looking for good old Dad, and Dad looked at and said, okay, what do you want? And she says, I don't want anything. I just want to sit in your lap for a minute. Yeah. Who among those children chose the wisest thing? Because I believe it was the father appreciated the one most who simply just wanted to spend a few moments in his lap. Center in on what really matters in your life. Try as best you are able to put away deadly distractions and begin with your commitment to Jesus Christ. Coming to worship today is a great start for that. To take some time. My entire life I've been in church, literally. I was an altar boy when I was a child. I remember when in the Catholic Church they ring bells at important moments. Those of you former Catholics, you know when they do that. I never could figure it out, but I do remember one time standing at the back of the church and they rang the bell, and I'd heard that sound before. And at the top of my little four-year-old mouth, I said, ice cream man! But I've always been in church, and I don't know what it's like not to be. So when you all get up and you have the option of not, and you get out of bed and you get dressed and, you know, clean yourselves up and such, and you do a great job. But I'm always a bit amazed by that, because you have chosen that which is important and that which matters, that which can build you up. Sleeping in doesn't do that much, although I'm not against it, just not on Sunday. So I admire you for that. But take that and apply it to other areas of your life, areas where Jesus is not. And ask yourself, where is Jesus in this? Where is my faith in this situation? Where am I in the great scheme of things with my Lord and my God in those aspects of your lives? Who among those children chose the wisest? It was the one who simply wanted to spend moments with her dad and us with Jesus. Put away the distractions. Begin with your commitment to Jesus Christ and let the rest of your life flow from there. That's the difference between simply living and living smart. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so aware that as this new year begins, there are a million distractions. And some of them are very good things for us and healthy things for us, but they're still distractions. And so help us to discern that which is healthy, that which is good, that which leads us to you, and not just because it's urgent, but because it's important. Help us to know when that is. And as Martha learned at the feet of Jesus, how important it was to be there, just as her sister did, help us to do the same. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.